Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Faber, sitting with Captain Scott Shank.
Hello, buddy.
Everything good?
Everything wonderful. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah. It's been, we live and die by weather. We live and die by wind. I mean, there's so many things. And, up until this week, I had not gone offshore. When I say offshore, off the beach.
Right.
Outside of
4 miles.
No, not even that. Outside of 2 miles.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I have not been off the beach in 3 weeks, you know? And
yeah.
Whenever we had that really beautiful water and there was no bait, we all struggled to catch bait, but my God, the fishing was insane, you know? So now we have a shift of the wind.
Yep.
It goes it went from basically an east, slight northeast.
Yes.
Now it's completely the opposite. It's south, southwest, blowing pretty hard. And what it does, folks, is whenever you have like that east, northeast wind, if you think about it, it's blowing all that pretty water in here.
Yep.
And, man, it's epic.
It got pretty there for a while.
It got amazing. So now the wind shifts and blows from the south-southwest every day, all night. We've really had no southeast winds to
nope.
speak of. And so think about it. It turns the water over.
Correct.
It makes it colder. It makes it dirty. Mm-hmm. And
Notice that in the river even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for
Tuesday,
sure.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Bite was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I caught 3 snook.
That's crazy. You got to tell that
back
story.
To back
yeah.
to, we'll talk about that
yeah,
later.
Yeah.
But then went back in the river yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and we all struggled.
Right.
I mean, literally told the guys, kind of like wintertime, hey, I don't know, the way this is starting out right now, you better capitalize on every single bite you get. If we lose one or two fish,
right.
that might be
right.
the day. And it was, you know. There was 4 or 5 of us that fished the river yesterday, and if we cleaned 3 or 4 fish, we were lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, it was and for me – I went on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and yesterday morning, it was howling.
It was.
And we had some type of a cloud cover, I don't know what you want to call it, a little storm or something that was coming down from the south to the north, mm-hmm. and it had a lot of wind in it,
mm-hmm.
man. I mean, and everybody was going offshore, and I talked to a couple guys that went out with bait boats. They said it was downright ugly. Well, I decided to stay on the beach because it had just enough west in it that, it, you know.
It was comfortable enough. You can make a 4-hour day on the beach.
The only problem I had is I was like, all right, guys, I said, let's go try to catch tarpon. There's so much bait on this beach. Let's stay in here close. Hopefully this wind will back off. But the problem was the bait was in 8-10 foot of water.
Ouch.
And the swells were almost breaking in that 8-10 foot of water. You know, you'd have one every now and then. So I was having to stay on spot lock on the trolling motor in 12 feet and trying to cast to them as far as we could. Because I don't want to take one, man.
No.
You know, I don't want to take
no.
a wave over,
no.
the, over the bow or whatever.
Not only that, but the force of that incoming wave is
yeah.
totally different than us stuffing the bow, as we call it, you know, coming through
it's
the
totally
inlet
different.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
That wave rolls you.
The energy is completely different.
Exactly right.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the old body surfing or using it on the skimboard, the
yep.
little skimboards.
Yep.
You felt the propulsion as it shifted you, even if it was a little 3-foot wave.
Right.
Now here we are in something that's 25 feet long, 9 feet wide. It's a way big, huge surfboard.
Yep.
And, I mean, you're going to keep going and going. It's not going to stop until you finally put the engine into gear and get
yep.
out of it.
Yep, yep. So, started out on the beach, like I said, in their shallow water, and spent I don't know, 45 minutes, and ended up catching a tarpon, which was a great way to start your day.
Congratulations.
You know, yeah, great way to start your day. And it was that perfect 50, 60-pounder.
The
ones I love to catch, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that 120 that just, oh, my gosh, after, you know, a grind of 45 minutes, right. and everybody's wore out.
Right.
You know?
Okay, can we just go do something different?
Yep.
Gotcha.
And my point was is that I was listening to the guys fishing further offshore, and it sounded like they were catching a few fish, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go try to find some clean water on this beach, and, man, I got out to 35 feet, and it was ugly. I mean.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, dadgum, because you know as well as I do, most of the fish that we've been catching has been in that 25 to 32
yes,
feet.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I got out there, and I was like, dadgum, and I got out to like 39 feet, and I kind of looked offshore, and I could see that it got prettier a little bit further offshore. So I put them out, and sure enough, in that 41, 45 feet, it was pretty. Was it nowhere near what it was last week?
Right.
But it was absolutely pretty enough to catch fish. You know, it was that dark green, and I made, I don't know, four or five passes in there, which just takes us about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, without a bite, nothing on the beach at all. And I was like, well, you're going to have to ease our way offshore. And by that time, the wind had backed off, you know.
It did. By 9:30, 10 o'clock, yeah. It started getting warm inshore.
Yeah, yeah, it had backed off. I mean, and there was a really good southeast swell, and I had to run southeast about 5 or 6 miles. And I guess in that 5 or 6 miles, four times I had to come completely out, you know.
And just let it roll over.
Yeah, yeah, just let it roll over, you know. And I was doing 15, 16. It was just, you know, there was just no backs to it whatsoever. But once we got there, it's very fishable. You know what I mean? It's not. I know there's a roll to it. It's not what we
right.
would consider rough.
Right.
You know.
Man, when you hit those waves with no back, it just makes it just sound like you're just tearing up the entire boat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the wrong way.
Yeah. You just have to take your time. Like I said, I was doing 15, yeah. 16. That's one thing that we're very lucky. Is our boats will get on a plane at 15 miles an hour.
Yes, sir.
You know?
No, you're
because
right.
Because I can promise you, and I'm not trying to put any boats down, but the Yellowfin that I ran for a few years would not.
The Ranger did not. The Ranger, it was either
right.
nothing or go all the way.
Right.
There
right.
was no in the middle with that
yeah,
boat
Yeah, I mean,
all.
You and I can literally put it at 16, 15, 16,
yep.
and take our hands off the throttle.
Yep. And it'll hold
and
it'll
steer.
Stay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. yep. It's really cool. But got offshore a little ways, and the kingfish bite was amazing. And I fished inshore today. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. I did not fish offshore, but I did have a chance to venture what I would consider northeast of, mm-hmm. of St. Augustine on Tuesday. And you and I talked about this. I think we talked about this last week. I haven't been able to fish up there all year. I mean, literally, it's July. And, you know, you and I start offshore fishing in April,
yep.
and that I've got just some beautiful numbers up there mm-hmm. that I love to fish.
A lot of little ledges. It doesn't
yeah.
have to be the popular high school reef balls. And
No.
I got some fun little stuff up there that if the blue runners are on it and stuff, it could be.
Oh yeah,
it could be fun.
It could be fun, and we just haven't been able to make it up there this year.
No sir.
You know, because you're talking about most of the time we either had, Let me take it back a little bit. When the beach fishing is as good as it was, I'm not going anywhere
Nuh-uh.
Anyway, okay?
Uh-uh.
you know what
it
I'm saying?
It has nothing to do with money and how much fuel consumption.
No, it has nothing.
Dude, it has to do with
fun.
Having two and three fish on at one time, and they're all 15 to 25 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm in.
With a bonita mixed in there and
a tarpon
mixed
yeah.
in there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not going 20 miles
nope.
to catch this.
The six pounders,
yeah, you know. But I did make it up there on Tuesday, and the first spot I hit, blue runners everywhere.
Really?
Oh my gosh! I was thinking, man, and the water was beautiful, and I was thinking, okay, I fished for 45 minutes, bro, and never lost a bait.
You're kidding?
No, I mean never lost a bait.
Really?
Downriggers. I mean, I was like, moved to the next spot. and got about, because I always stop short, you know, and I got about a tenth of a mile, and the rod just freaking screamed. I went, oh, thank God.
After all the eyes were looking at me.
I stayed there for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and we probably caught, I don't know, 14, 16 kingfish, but, I mean, we caught some really nice fish, some 20, 25s. Yeah, I mean, it was wide open, you know, two rods, you know, one short, one long, and it was, and saw some much bigger fish. But my point is just what you just said, blue runners everywhere. Holy cow.
Why do they always hold up to the north like that? We never really find them.
That's a great question. I don't know.
Very seldom do you see them like around IP, OP. Yep. You know, you might see a school here or there, but, dude, you go anywhere up to the northeast right there, and they're across top of the water like a thread fin.
Yep.
Or a sardine.
Yeah, you're looking at they feed like
baby little bill bonitas.
Bonitas, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And they feed just like bonitas. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, give us a call, 641-1010, 641-1010. You listen to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Little pontoon boat, eh?
Pontoon boat.
By the way, I love pontoon boats. I will tell you right now.
I'm telling you. If I ever had take a break or do – oh. Dude, come on. With couches all over the place and cooler room, I'm in.
If I retire as a fishing captain and somebody said, hey, I'm thinking about buying a pontoon boat and doing some tours, I'm in, dude. I'll do it.
Hey, the ones at Whalen Bay, dude, I'm telling you, they got barbecue grills on them. I'm so much into that. I mean, I could just see me, finally relaxed after, doing this. Yeah, I could see me on a pontoon boat.
Yeah, I could too. I get to. All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Randy. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Captain Kev, Captain Scotty, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Wonderful,
good.
Sir.
Good. Yeah, I got a finder question. It's Mayport. It's a finder showed up in Mayport?
Yes. Yeah, Captain Scott did Kirk? the Nimnik Outdoor Show with Kirk and I on Saturday. And now it's pretty interesting, Randy. The guys at Flounderfish in Mayport, they are some tight-lipped.
That's a tight-lipped jokers over there.
The flounder have showed up, and it seems like things are definitely picking up inshore around there.
Cool. Well, they're running probably about 2-3 pounds, 4 pounds.
Yeah. Lucky enough for them, they got deeper water. We're still, down here, Randy, I mean, I've fought it for the last couple of days. I mean, still fighting 10.5 to 13-inch fish. I mean, kind of not all you want, but I mean, I'm throwing back probably 12 or 15 every trip.
Yeah, I would definitely say Mayport has bigger fish.
Mayport with their deeper water, I think they have bigger fish right now, at least. Yes.
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 Yeah, because I got my spots. I just ain't been in a while, and just was wondering if it showed up yet.
Yes. Yep. Rumor has it. From a good source and numerous people, but it sounds like the flounder fishing has gotten pretty good out of Mayport.
Cool.
Yep.
Good to hear.
Yep. All right, buddy. Well, good.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Randy. Yep.
He's having cocktails on a 60-foot Spencer right now.
Oh my gosh! Is he so the South Cape Chip Wingo? What's up, Chip?
70 foot.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I missed it by 10. Yeah. Like, it really matters after you go after 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's nice down here. Hey, I heard Randy asking about the flounders. Nassau Sound Docks are doing really good right now, too.
There you go.
Some good fish down there. And surprisingly, they're liking the bigger live streams if you can get them on a jig head.
Really?
They will tag it really quick, and it's an easy hookup because they inhale the shrimp for some reason. But
isn't that crazy? When you flounder fish, I mean, I had to do it the other day because it's been a lack of shortage of mud minnows around the St. Augustine area, and it's like catching them on an artificial.
Yep.
I mean, literally, as soon as they bite, you set the hook. Where versus a mudman or a mullet, I tell everybody to drink a Pepsi, smoke a cigarette, talk about the weather.
Right.
Don't do nothing, okay?
Right.
And it's just weird because it is. It's exactly as soon as he hits it, you can dot his eyes as soon as he hits it with a shrimp. I mean, he's on.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
A lot easier when you're using. Well, mud minnows is the same way. You know how when they tag a mud minnow, the mud minnow is not that big. It's not like throwing a mullet where they sit there and chew on it for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's been really good. There's still some big Spanish up there in that area. Sorry about the noise. I'm outside a fundraiser right now, and I'm standing on the street pretty much. But yeah, there's the bite's been good. The redfish have been good. The redfish have been pretty good down the Sisters Creek area also, especially at high tide. For some reason, those fish have switched, and they're right up on the grass line, so throwing the spinner bait and, you know, pitching jigs or popping corks.
Yep.
Or just, you know, slow rolling a soft plastic. I think with the bait showing up like it has, these fish have changed their feeding patterns. And
yeah.
Hey, by the way, I inshore fished today, and – I saw a ton, and I mean school after school after school of 2-inch mullet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got that quarter inch mesh net.
Yeah.
Good Lord fearing, if you ever need it. I always got it on the boat this time of year because for the next 2 or 3 weeks, if there is no bait, that's what I had to do the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't live that long.
Right.
But, man.
Man, I'll tell you, Chip, it was spectacular watching the fish go through them. Mm-hmm. And it was jacks or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, oh my gosh, they were. They were thick.
Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. All right. So enough of the inshore fishing. Let's go to South Florida here, dude. You're on the 70-foot Spencer.
Well, no,
going
that's
snapper
Saturday.
Fishing.
That's Saturday we're fishing on that boat, but tomorrow we're running one of the big Everglades out. We're gonna go snapper fishing and grouper fishing and. You know, it's fun to be able to run somewhere else and go do something different. But, you know, snapper opening up, we're going to fish all weekend. So,
yeah, you know, hard life on a 70, Spencer.
So we'll be done with that probably. And, you know, the snapper bite probably done in, you know, less than an hour. But we're going to probably try to fish 150 or 180 feet of water, depending on the current. So last week, the current was a little strong down here. But, yeah, this should be fun. I mean, you know, it's nice. It'll be nice tomorrow and we don't have to go to boat ramps 2 days in a row.
I am absolutely dreading that in the morning. I
had a phone call, Chip, and I honestly just spelled it out for him. I said no.
Yeah. I mean, just to let folks know what we're talking about, snapper season opens up tomorrow.
Well, opens up about 10 o'clock tonight because the boats will be sitting on the bottom at 12:01. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
Go to the boat ramp tonight at 10:30, 11 o'clock and count how many go out.
Yeah, you're right. But so tomorrow is always chaotic, and it is. I mean, look, I'm a charter captain. I fish every day. I get it. And maybe I'm sounding grumpy, but man, it is no fun.
No. Fun. I think it's nothing geared towards the anglers. It's geared.
No, it's not.
What I'm trying to get at is to understand why I say I'm out is. There becomes a safety reason because they all try to do this, the state, the commission, the whoever you want to call it, trying to think it could be done differently. It could be done with tags and you can spread this out more than it being a derby. You really can.
Yep.
I mean, plain and simple. You know, everybody gets one tag. You know, use it whenever. You know. I'm sorry.
I mean, Chip, it's just no fun to pull up to a spot and there'd be 20 boats there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's, and honestly, usually we're the ones getting yelled at because we got spot locks, you know? So we pull up in the middle of the crowd, hit the spot lock and they're all drifting or trying to anchor and they're like, dude, you're on the spot. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they create trolling motors for.
Yeah, exactly.
Chip, you should see the new 90-inch trolling motor they're coming out with.
Yeah, I'm on the spot. So
they're coming out with a 90-inch trolling motor, Chip.
I know. I heard that.
Oh, my gosh. You should see it. It's awesome.
Hey, I got 90-inch story for you from this week.
Okay.
Had a lady, Kyla, think I'm saying it right, Kayla or Kyla on the boat. And we're fishing, you know, fishing a roll down edge, about 16 feet of water. And we're catching trout and some reds and some flounder here and there. And, you know, she throws out and it's drifting out the back of the boat. Well, she starts reeling it in really fast. And I turn and I look as the rod about gets yanked out of her hand as about an 80-pound tarpon comes up and eats her shrimp. And it was hysterical because the fish felt the hook. And I guess it semi-hooked itself. And not yanked her out of the boat, but it went airborne. And because the look on her face when that fish came flying out of the water, she turned and looked at me like in Jaws and goes, "We need a bigger boat."
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good stuff, man. But, that's good stuff. Yeah. All right, well, you get back to the streets. And,
hard life with couches and misters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll be thinking about you in our little bay boats tomorrow.
I know.
Yeah, as we're
and they got microphones. You know that he's wearing a microphone. He's tagged all day because it's a air conditioned wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So if he's, I think he's going to partly run that boat.
I've spent enough years getting snot kicked out of me in small boats.
You're right. You're right. I 100% agree with you.
Yep.
But it's fun wearing microphones all day. Yep. I got you.
All right. Guys.
I got you.
All right, buddy.
Be safe. Have a fun time. Call me.
See ya.
All right, I will. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye, buddy.
Let's go talk to Tommy this evening here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. What's up, Tommy?
How we doing, boys?
What's up, buddy?
How's the size of the mud minnows? Y'all been fishing the river a little bit. No. Anything size-wise down there?
No. Half inch long.
Yeah. They're,
pin two or three on a hook and you go fishing. You buy like 30 dozen.
You need to tell your boy Leon to come off that golden nugget at 210 right there.
Mm-mm. That doesn't matter.
There's
no. Just trust me. I go up there. Huh. You're all they're only selling you six dozen at a time. I don't go on my boat with six dozen. Six dozen is gonna last me an hour. So no.
Yeah.
Don't only sell you six dozen.
I've been going out with three dozen. And they're jumbos, and they're glorious, and the fish can tell they're big.
Yeah,
it's the sea bass. Why?
I got a question for you. The fishing is really good in the St. John's River. Why are you coming to Palm Valley?
I'm sorry. I was turning.
I'm just kind of curious. I mean, that's your backyard. Why are you going to the valley?
Well, truthfully, the fishing is extremely good. All right, I'm going to Palm Valley to get bait because the fishing down there where I've been going in St. Augustine, North Beach, is just legit. And really, it's the same thing I'm doing. It's real simple fishing. I go when I'm not putting in fence and the tide's right kind of deal. So for me, it's convenient fishing like I used to do growing up.
Right.
Wade's fishing, it strikes. And it's the same kind of fishing we do in the river. Now, look, I'll give you this. There's really good shrimp in the river, and honestly, you can go to Dr. Zenit right now, and you can throw a half-inch mesh net, and you can start picking out, not even really picking out, you can start basically making your more than bait, you know, I mean, you can get a frequent, if you like throwing a net in the daytime, you can make your bucket there, you know, within a couple hours.
That's
and
awesome.
Truthfully, what everyone's really doing is you can go from there to Mandarin Point and find some of the docks. There's so much trash, like, down around the docks we like to fish.
Yep.
That the and there's quite a bit of good-sized flounder and good-sized redfish in the river. In all reality, like I said, for me going down there, for y'all, it's just convenient. But, I mean, when it comes down to river, the shrimp and everything, it's on fire. It really
isn't that great?
Is. It's as good as
isn't that great?
Because it's going to be like it has been for a while, for sure.
Exactly. I mean, what, the last 2 years, Tommy? Is that two or three years?
Yeah, back to back. No, it's been back to back hurricanes. So yeah, this will be the first year if you don't have a storm that it's been since we're catching a whole lot of shrimp, and that's good. You know, and it's only going to get better, and they're still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I tell everybody. Around the time that Florida plays LSU and everything in the middle of, like, September is when they're going to start getting a little bit thicker in the shoulders, so to speak, and start making their way toward the shad. And everything else chases them all the way down. So, I mean, it just gets better. but they're bigger than black eyed peas right now, which for us on the 4th of July weekend is usually when I start my my shrimping fiasco, and they're bigger than that now. So, you know, I guess that's a very much plus. I just
cool.
I hope they stay there and nothing happens.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Need to grow.
Listen, we don't need any more storms. We've had a great year this year. I mean, not wind wise, but rain wise, we've had just enough.
Every afternoon, giving me 15 or 20 minutes of a good little shower.
Yep.
It rocks me to sleep.
And not only that,
what
it does is it calms that sea breeze down.
Yes, sir.
Tommy. So the ocean lays down overnight, you know, and it's all good. It's all good. We'll just hopefully we have our first nor'easter, the first week of September, and then we just have regular weather.
Yes.
You know? I'm tired of hurricanes, brother.
Yeah, everybody just kind of keep your head down and stay in your lane and don't look up, and, you know, hopefully it'll be cool, you know. Don't look at him, he won't look at you, and let's just do what we're supposed to do and not have goofy weather.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, buddy, we got to run. We need to take a break.
All right, y'all be good. See you.
Thanks.
Yep, see you. Tommy checking in. If you want to do the same, give us a call, 641-1010, 641-1010. Listen to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010XL. Captain Scott Shank, I'm Captain Dave. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Go beer on a Friday night. Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shack with Captain Kevin Favor. Always Thursday nights from 7 to 8 here on 1010XL. Real quick, I had a busy day today.
Yep.
Did a lot of mileage. Uh-huh. I went to ICAST today.
Tell everybody what the ICAST show is.
ICAST show is a products show of all the anything that's out there. I mean, Penn was there. Pure Fishing was there. It's a tackle. It could be anything. It's clothing, tackle.
Anything in the fishing
anything
industry.
It's not open
to the public.
It is not open to the public. You have to be asked to come. The only way that you're kind of open to the public is if you kind of sell
or have a
media pass to go in there. So anyhow. Had to go down and see my good I'm still here, so I must be doing something right. I'll be with them now for the next 3 years.
Very cool. Congratulations.
Very excited.
Yeah.
I was nervous. The reason behind it was Lou's recently got sold, and I had to meet with the new owners.
And there may not it may be to the point to where not a lot of people know what Lou's is.
Okay.
Because Lou's owns the freshwater market.
Yeah. I mean, everybody thinks, they were really, you know, everybody first thinks Penn. Yes, Penn was. Penn was in the saltwater market.
Right.
Penn is what Lou's is to freshwater.
Right.
Exactly. So
and so now Lou's is.
So now Lou's, within the last 2 or 3 years, Captain Blair Wiggins, who has they call him the Mogan Man, TV show is called Addicted Fishing. Blair got a hold of me a couple of years ago and said, hey, man, Lou's is trying to start into the saltwater edition. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested? I said, yeah, sure. So I've been fishing Lou's now for a few years, and we've gone over some bumps. Mm-hmm. We've gone through on some flat roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're on to a hell of a good saltwater product.
Good.
We're getting there. They have come out. Thank goodness. They're finally just tweaking them. I'll get a couple of them next week. They just showed them at the show this week. They are making 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 series
good
tarpon reels.
Yep.
So I'll be getting a hold of them hopefully within the next week to 10 days, what I was told, to start product testing that. That's how I started with Lou's and still am doing that with Lou's is product testing, because of transporting into the saltwater market. They originally just started by just changing some gears around on the reels,
right,
and still left it a freshwater reel. Well, found out real quick,
yeah, it didn't
just
work.
Because you put a couple of things of stainless steel screws in there, it doesn't make it a saltwater reel.
Right.
Excuse me. So with myself, Blair, Ben Benninger out of Charleston, South Carolina, is the other person that helps with the product testing. So anyhow.
Yeah, very nice. Well, did you have
a chance?
I walked
around real quick. Yep. I did walk around real quick. I heard about it earlier. You heard earlier. Rodan came out with a 90-inch trolling motor.
That's
for
amazing.
The 36-footers and above.
Is that still 36?
No, I think they went. I didn't. There was so much hoopla going around it because it was in the new. Folks, if they come out with a new product for the year, it has a designated area,
yep,
and it's in the product showcase area.
Okay.
And they were doing so daggum much filming and everything of it because it was actually mounted to a bow of a boat,
mm-hmm,
and they were doing all. I truly could not get close. I didn't even ask questions because
90 inches.
It was a media. It was quite the media day today.
You know,
because yesterday kind of started it.
You know. I'm gonna tell you something. If they get these things to work,
it's gonna
change what people buy, because you and I buy bay boats
for the reason thereof.
Right. But now you're telling me that I could buy a 27-foot Seafox center console
with twin 300s,
twin 200s, or twin
200s,
and have a trolling motor on it.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about this. I mean, the way we fish with our bait boats, it's not going to be a whole lot different if I have a decent sized center console.
No, and you have the room in those center consoles that you can hold 4, 5, 6 batteries now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
In the next few years you're gonna see, and folks, that's what's so cool about going to ICAST and being invited to go to ICAST. There, not only do you see people that you grew up with. I mean, I was right there talking to David Fritz all day. He's one of the freshwater, the freshwater, lose
Bill
guys.
Bill Dance.
Peter T.
Yeah,
Peter T. is coming
Peter
fishing
Talvers
with me next week. We already got that. He wants to go flounder fishing.
Oh, he loves the
and
flounder
tarpon fish.
Yep.
And so, by the way, talking to him, I think he's going to be – he guides now solely on the St. John's.
Yep.
So I kind of put a bug in his ear. He can't do it tonight because of engagements with ICAST.
Uh-huh.
I think we're going to start getting the St. John's River report.
That would be awesome.
And I told him it would be really great. He said he does listen to us on occasions whenever he can.
Yep.
And he tunes into our podcast, but I think we're going to start getting a freshwater report from Peter T.
That would be great. But I know he's fishing for redfish and everything else.
Yeah,
too.
He does. He does too. Yeah. He's getting his new boats and stuff like that as well. But yeah, I mean, just not only do you see all the people
and
the names.
Yeah, I've been to ICAST twice.
Actually,
I was supposed to go down today. My buddies, I know I've talked about this with Mossy Oak.
Yep, they were there. Gorgeous booth.
Yeah.
Mossy Oak Fish. Oh, they had it. They had an awesome booth. There was about 5 booths away from where I was.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
And I should have given you a name, but I was going to go down there and obviously be with Pure Fishing, which is the pro staff that I'm on, which is Penn, Fenwick. Oh my gosh! I could go on and on. Spider wire.
Yep.
And I was supposed to go down there, but I fished all day, and by the time I got home, I got cleaned up.
The traffic was unbearable.
Oh,
by yourself, and you're just stressed.
Can I be honest with you?
Go ahead.
If it was in Daytona, I would have gone.
Oh yeah.
I would have. I'd come
no,
home
but and, I wish you would have said because you could have just jumped in with me. I mean, one of us going to drive.
Yeah. Well. Well,
I mean,
I understand.
I know you have
charter.
A Sandy. I know you do.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You get to see new products. You can see what is happening and the advancements that are made in fishing tackle into
and most
sportswear.
Most of this equipment is going to be available 2020, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, this is all comes out now. Right. Following year will hit market.
I got you. So
it was a great time.
It was a great time. Kicking back to the fishing ahead. First off, I don't want to talk about my day today. I want to talk about your day yesterday.
Incredible.
Pretty incredible.
Incredible. I've never done that. Again, a firstie for me. Never. We always catch snook.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. But come on, man. It's Northeast Florida. This isn't the West Coast. This ain't Naples. This ain't, this is St. Augustine, Florida.
This isn't something that we go target.
Right.
Yeah.
No, fish the jetties. Fish the jetties.
Yeah.
And
so you fished up in the river for flounder all day.
I fished up in the river all day and did okay. I mean, I had a couple decent reds. I had one or two or three decent flounder, a bunch of dadgum 10 and a half to, when I say a bunch, I don't know, 10 or 12, threw back. And, boy, the tide got right.
Mm-hmm.
And so myself and Captain Rob Bennett went out there, and I said, okay, let's get this party started. And we lined up together and started fishing. And
shrimp?
I had shrimp. There was no mud minnows. I was only fishing shrimp that day.
Okay.
And good anglers, Chris and Lynn, they go with me a lot. And Chris made three consecutive casts, caught a 31, a 29, and a 24.
Snook.
Three consecutive casts. Set the hook, and this fish jumped right next to the rocks. I went, the heck was that?
Right, yeah.
Must be a hell of a nice trout. I said, just be easy on him now. Don't pull hard.
Right.
And
it started pulling.
Dude. I said, whoa, down the jetties he goes. I went, ooh, I'm going to have to come off the hook here. Yelling at Rob, nobody cast on his boat because it's passing him.
Right.
The big fish passed him. And anyhow, I worked him back to the boat, and, was like, whoa, cool. I sent you the picture, right?
I haven't seen a picture.
All right, I got pictures. I got my phone. And got him off, high five, and I'm going, damn, first one of the year, I'm excited. Throws up there again, boils off the rock again. I went, nah. Pulls it up, and there's 24. And I'm high-fiving, and I'm more excited, and he doesn't realize what's going on right here.
Right, yeah.
I'm sorry, okay, but I get excited. And I went, damn, really? That's two in a row.
Yeah.
Dude, I pin another shrimp on. One jumps out of the water again. I said, you got to be kidding me. I got number three on. And so caught three snook.
So they were all on the same rock.
All on the same rock.
And Rob didn't catch one.
What Rob did catch that came by me doing Mach 100, he sent a – now, Rob and I were close. We're 20 feet away from trolling motor to his engine.
Right.
We're 20 feet away. And caught a few really nice flounder there. I caught a nice red there. Rob did the same. Rob takes a 6-ounce bank sinker on a, relatively speaking, short leader for bull reds.
Right.
Whatever. 24-inch, 36-inch leader. Sets it down. All of a sudden, that rod takes off, and I hear that braid just screaming going by the boat. And I look behind the back of the boat, and here's an 80-pound tarpon that's just up in the air, just going, looking like Chris. And Rob goes, ow! And I hear him fire up his big engine.
Right.
And he forgets all about just hitting the spot lock unlock.
Right.
So that poor damn trolling motor in the front is doing
it
all
was
kinds because Rob's just in full reverse trying to go back out of everybody because I'm right next to him, and then Captain Steve Cascio is behind me. So he's trying to clear all of us, and I look, and he didn't even tell his clients. I look, and there's three lines dragging going by me because the guys with the jig heads are trying to figure out what the hell is he doing going in full reverse backwards here. What are we doing here? So anyhow, he ended up jumping them off the – and you know this because you are the tarpon man. You get a 6 or 8 ounce lead wrapped around that main line when that fish is jumping, he's going to part it off, and he did. He parted it off. He got two jumps out of it or whatever, but
now
we definitely
can
see
it.
Now he comes back in. He said, so he's going by full rear, going, save me my spot. And he's yelling at me as he's backing down, and I'm going, this is cool. So I said, Stevie, let's scoot up a little bit more. I said, we're going to suck in on this one. We're going to lose. Anyhow.
Oh, that's good.
Incredible day, though. I've never caught three snook, much less you catch one maybe once a week.
Yeah.
From now till – it's usually kind of like Florida-Georgia weekend. The middle of September is when it usually ends.
I just want you to look at everything.
Okay.
All right. Let's just start with the St. John's River.
Mm-hmm.
There hadn't been any shrimp in the St. John's River for 2, maybe 3 years. There hadn't been any fish. I mean, let's just say from the Buckman to the Fort Warren in that area. because of the hurricanes, because of all the fresh water. Now, look at this year. We've had really good weather. We had a little lack of rain in April and May. Winds have been fine.
And there's mullet schools.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
And so now you all of a sudden you start they're catching a bunch of shrimp in the river.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's River.
Mm-hmm.
First ones we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Got great pictures from my buddy Jeff Loggeman.
Yep.
Sheep's head.
Yep.
Flounder.
Yep.
He hasn't caught those in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So, and then you look at what's going on back out in the ocean. The kingfish bite this year has just been.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it enough that it's unlike anything we've ever seen, you know. You've got all this beautiful water going up in these inlets. We haven't had any crazy freezes for 3 years.
Mm-mm.
So all of that snook population, it didn't take them long, man.
Mm-mm. No, you know? I mean, there was mullet running up and down the jetties.
Yeah.
There was either hornbellies or threadies mm-hmm. that would jump out of the water right
yeah.
close to it.
Yeah, the little skipper thing.
The little skippy, little whatever, skipjack. I don't know what the heck you call them. But anyhow, the little horn, I don't know what they are. But I'm just telling you, this, it's going to line up to be a hell of a year. The remainder of our summertime inshore fishing pattern up until October.
Because think about what starts now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first off, you're talking about snook.
Right.
But. Tarpon fish is only going to get better.
We ain't even started a mullet run yet because you just said it.
Yep.
You
had
schools,
this
2-inch, you know.
Yeah, but the mullet
the
on
mullet
the beach.
The mullet on the beach. What was that, Monday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday when I threw on that school of mullet on the beach, going down the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was in it, but they shouldn't have been because they were, like, inside of that. Thank goodness for west
all
winds.
The mullet I saw were for miles, not a school. And they were on the mud line. You know how they do.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're right, like, literally in the breaker. Thank gosh. It was a west wind because there was no – I could sneak right up there literally to the beach and throw it.
Yeah, and on Tuesday, the mud line was out there in, like, 15 feet.
15 feet.
You know, so – when I was running down the beach. I was like – you know, I was seeing tarpon blow up tarpon, but I was like, there's no bait. Then I said, well, yeah, there is. There's mullet everywhere.
I don't know where they came from.
I don't know either.
That little tiny nor'easter couldn't have pushed anything from Carolina.
No.
It's on a cold front. It's nothing to stir that up.
First off, they were all going north.
That one school of mine was going south I saw in front of the
All the bait race. I saw was going north.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that, when was it? Wednesday. Yeah, today's Thursday. Yesterday, I mean, three huge schools of mullet piled out. I told you that.
Yep.
Piled out of Hospital Creek and got just smoked as soon as they got in that 25-foot channel
sharks
outside.
And tarpon.
Sharks and tarpon were eating them a new one.
That's cool stuff. All right, let's take a quick break here on the Mo Southwest Fishing Forecast. We've got one more small segment to go if you want to get in. 641-1010. We'll be right back.
Red, Nick. The Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Scott, maybe I shouldn't have taken the small rods off the boat.
It's supposed to blow tomorrow.
Yeah. For opening day of the 2019 snapper season. Tonight, south winds 15 to 20. Small craft exercise caution 3 to 5. Tomorrow, south winds 15, 2 to 4. Dominant period 5 seconds. Ouch. Friday night, south winds 15 knots, becoming southwest 5 to 10 knots after midnight. And then Saturday looks beautiful. South-southeast 10 knots, seas 1 to 2.
Really?
Yeah. Sunday looks better, folks. If you only have one day to fish for snapper seasons, Sunday, south winds, 5 knots, seas 1 foot.
Really?
Yeah. So you want to know the best part?
Yeah.
Monday for you and I.
Yes. Looking forward to Monday?
Yes, me too. South-southeast winds, 10 knots, 1 to 2.
I'm in.
Wow.
I can go back offshore.
Yeah. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have some really good weather. It looks like tomorrow, Folks, if you're going snapper fishing, be careful. Mm-hmm. Be careful. It's not going to be slick calm in 85.
Nope.
It's going to be a little bumpy out there. I'm not going to do it.
Nope.
If I could ever find me a snapper spot about 2 miles off the beach, I'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's there's going to be a lot of guys out there. Be careful.
It's not worth it, folks. It's one fish. Please be careful. Don't get in fights over spots. There's just
have some patience.
You know what it is.
Have some patience.
Deal with it.
Yeah,
you know how
exactly.
It's going to be.
Yeah, the ramp's going to be crazy.
You know, so don't get in fights and arguments.
All of them. And you know,
your spot, trust me, you think it is. Trust me, I've learned that throughout
the
years.
That's the best point yet, because I'm telling you, I've got spots that I have never seen anybody.
Same here.
Ever. And last year, snapper season, I'm like, really?
Really? 25 other boats do this one?
Yeah, well, no, but there would be two or three on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going?
Because you never saw anybody in it all year long.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah,
never. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to this little one. It should be all right.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
it's a little spot.
You know, when you get about
spot.
2 miles away and you're like, is that really a boat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
must
keep
be on
looking
another
at your
one.
GPS, you're going,
yep.
Damn, that's right at it. Right.
Yep.
There.
So understand, nothing's secret out there, I can guarantee you.
Hey, folks, don't forget to join us for the Nimnik Outdoor Show this Saturday morning from 7 to 10. And we'll all be there this weekend, which we haven't been there, all three of us, me, Loggeman, and Captain Kirk. And thanks for joining Captain Scott and I for the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Y'all have a wonderful weekend of fishing.
Please be safe. Jesse's getting